Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Back on the show today is our automotive correspondent, Johan Schnell, and he's coming at us live from a coffee shop on vacation. And
that's so dedicated.
That's dedication.
He's so dedicated.
And we're going
to. We should probably feel bad about this, but.
Or we should find a way to treat him to his coffee, for goodness sake.
I know. Do they take Venmo? All right.
Johan is on the show today to help us talk about the new Subaru Ascent. So in this episode, Johan's going to walk us through the specs because he's really, really good at that. And then in tomorrow's episode, we're going to come back and we've all driven the Ascent, all three of us, Stephanie, Johan, and myself. And we're going to talk about driving it. So we want to dive right into the content today, but we need to quickly thank our sponsors GoPower and Thetford.
A big thanks to our sponsor GoPower, powering off-grid adventure since 1996. Visit gpelectric.com to size a power system for your next adventure. And thank you to Thetford. Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel better for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Welcome back to the show, brother Johan.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Is your coffee hot?
It's cold brew, actually.
Oh, perfect.
He's a cold brew in the
cold
morning guy.
Brew.
He's a straight-up killer.
All right, good. And how's it? And how is it?
It's really good. This is from a local shop here in Chincoteague. I had to check this place out based on Campground of the Week.
You just had to give that plug to us. That's why we love you.
Enjoying vacation in Chincoteague?
It's very nice. It's definitely a cool place to come visit.
Okay, but have you had the donuts yet?
Have not had donuts. No.
Okay, it's I think Sandy.
Not earned my donuts yet.
Okay, it's the Sandy Pony Donut Truck, I think, and it is so good. And you have to go there. If anybody's listening and you're saying, "What the heck are they talking about?" Head on over to rvfta.com and search for Chincoteague, and you will see our whole trip planner for the area.
Right, let's dive in and just get Johan's expertise on the Subaru Ascent. So we're gonna do some basic specs on it, and then we'll take a quick break. And then we'll talk about towing with the Ascent. So, Johan, get us started with like MSRP and trim levels. What does this thing offer? What's out there for the Subaru Ascent?
Yeah, so the Subaru Ascent in context, it's a three-row SUV, and it's very, very middle of the road in terms of size of within the different three-row SUVs. So you're going to have three-row SUVs that are on the larger side, like the Tahoe and the CX-9 and even something like a Ford Explorer, but the Ascent itself is also larger than some other three-row SUVs as well. So the Ascent, just think about it from a marketplace standpoint, it's a very, very middle of the road three-row SUV, a very classic three-row SUV.
So it's not a Suburban, and it's not a Ford Expedition, it's sort of a step down in size.
Yes, and at that, even though it's very middle of the road, it's actually the Subaru Ascent does a really good job at maximizing the space that it uses. And so even though it's smaller than the Explorer, it has a lot of the same cargo area and headroom and things like that. So very, very, it should be a very compelling, get a compelling look from people that are thinking about doing having a three-row SUV.
Yeah, and it was recently we were in the market for a three-row vehicle for our family, and this was on the short list for it. Definitely something to look at. Now, I just want to mention to all of our listeners before we go any further that the reason we asked Johan onto the show for this episode is because he is really great in the space of SUVs and towing. And a while ago, he came on the show to talk about SUVs and towing. If you're new to the world of RVs and you're still trying to match that tow vehicle with a trailer, please do go back and listen to our Towing with SUVs episode with Johan. He was great at listing, you know, just all of the SUVs in this space and the benefits
and
of each
benefits
one.
Benefits and some of the concerns.
Exactly.
So, Johan, talk to us about price and trim level.
Perfect. So the Ascent comes in four trims. And the base one will start out around $32,000, and the most expensive one will start out around $45,000. So you have a wide range of pricing for different families of different budgets. And the main difference between the different trim levels is the standard features that come along with it. So you can get something entry level for around $32,000, but it's still a very complete vehicle. All of them have all-wheel drive. All of them have the same engine. All of them have the same safety features. It's just a matter of the difference being the kind of leather that it has, the kind of technology that's in there from a sound and stuff like that, the size wheels. But the $32,000 for the base is probably would be my favorite in terms of value, because in this three-row segment, the $32,000 base Ascent probably creates more value by having all-wheel drive standard. Some of its competitors, like the Highlander and the Pilot and the Explorer, if you were to go head-to-head and needed to have all-wheel drive, you will find that the Subaru is actually the better deal because it comes with all-wheel drive standard. So $32,000 for a base, very compelling. As you go up in trim levels, it does become more more similar in pricing to its competitors. But very good option in terms of value.
So you're saying now then that in your notes here, I just think it's worth saying the prices. So the premium's going to start at $34,400. And when we've owned Subarus, we've always ended up in that premium trim because we just wanted a couple of the extras. Then Limited is going to start at $39,400. And then you're talking $45,000 for touring. So there is a wide variety of price points here. I was surprised that it's the same engine in all four.
And safety features, like the eyes that see the road and everything. Like, I was surprised that all of those things came, because we've owned the lower end. We've owned three Subarus, for everybody listening, throughout the years, and we've never had any of the higher end ones. So it was nice to see all those things in one of the lower packages.
And what's cool too, from a value standpoint on pricing, is that the Subaru actually does a better job than some of its competitors by having Apple CarPlay and Android AutoPlay. And those are just the little things that when you're living with the car day to day, some of the other ones don't. And so you have to use, if you want to use Waze or Google Maps and stuff like that, you're going to be looking at your phone. Whereas Subaru actually includes that kind of value with it. So very good options. It's just a matter of what kind of creature comforts you want.
One thing I have noticed, now we have bought Fords, we have bought Chevys, we have bought a Chrysler, we have bought Subarus. I have found over the years that the American car companies, you can get them much lower on MSRP. Like, they will take a lot more off MSRP. And I have found when we've bought our Subarus that the MSRP is really closer to the actual real world buying price. Basically, what I'm saying is I have found there is less haggle room on a Subaru. So I know that sometimes those American cars can look more expensive, but sometimes I do think that they're more aggressive with all the rebates and all of that stuff.
Hey, well, since we're talking price here, let's also mention that we've resold quite a three Subarus that we bought, and the resale value is insane.
Unreal.
So we just drove a Subaru for 5 years or so, 4 years, and we resold it about $4,000 to $5,000 cheaper than we bought it.
And our first Subaru, we bought at $21,000 and sold 2 years later at $19,000.
Yeah, so the resale is very high, which is good to note for your value point also.
All right, what else do you want to talk about here? We want to talk engine, we want to talk gas mileage. You lead the way, Johan.
Yeah, so I figure we can probably dive in a little bit deeper when we talk about telling about the engine. But the engine, just for people that are wanting to know specs, it's a four cylinder engine. It's a 2.4 liter, and it has 260 horsepower and 277 foot pounds of torque. But what that means in the real world with a boxer engine like this is the most of its power and torque really come down low. You don't have to rev the engine very high to get that power, and so it really feels more like a V6. So the Subaru has the efficiency of a four cylinder engine from a miles per gallon perspective, but it really packs the punch of a V6 that you would find in some of the other SUVs in this segment. So that's something that you definitely feel when you're going to be behind the wheel. It's gonna feel peppy. So the other thing that I wanted to highlight about the Subaru is that it has more ground clearance than its competitors, and that has to do with the Subaru philosophy of every one of their vehicles comes with all-wheel drive. Every one of their vehicles, they advertise it, and they really their target demographic is for people that are active outdoors. And so by it having additional ground clearance, it can go into that terrain that maybe some people would be reluctant to do so. And you're not going to scrape the bottom of the vehicle or scratch the body and stuff like that. And so that's something that's cool. And with the all-wheel drive system, it also tends to be a little bit more usable for off-road, snow, and wet conditions because it's a more active all-wheel drive system than some of the competitors that are front-wheel drive-based engines with some all-wheel drive being sent to the rear wheels.
Johan, can you tell us what is the MPG that they say we're going to get in the Ascent?
Yeah, and so because they all use the same engine, the MPG is going to be very close. The main difference in the Subaru in the Ascent is if it has 18-inch wheels, it's going to be 27 on the highway, 21 in the city with 23 combined. And if it has the 20s, which are going to be larger and they look nice, it does take a hit a little bit in the MPGs. And so instead of 27, you'll get 26 on the highway. And instead of 21 in the city, you'll get 20 on the city and a combined of 22. So it's the wheels.
That's so funny to me that somebody would get wheels that would knock down their MPG. Like, I would just never do that. I would always take MPG.
I like to roll on 20s.
You like that look on the wheels. Okay, so we are going to go into the actual towing capacity of this vehicle, which is, of course, why many of our listeners would be interested in this three-row SUV. It has some surprising tow capacity compared to its competitors. But first, we just want to stop and thank our sponsor, Thetford. Part of living your best life at the campground is making sure that your RV is in its best condition, including all those parts that you never want to think about, like the black tank and the gray tank and the freshwater tank. And really, you will be much a happier camper if you use products that are specifically developed for your RV. And that is different than products that are developed for your home. For example, bleach and other cleaning products that work in your home bathroom can break down the seals and compounds of your RV toilet and tanks. And the toilet paper that you use at home, even septic safe, can also clog your black tank. So you want to use products like Thetford develops, like the AquaSoft 2-ply RV toilet paper and AquaChem holding tank treatments, and we have used them for about a decade now, and we never have the smelly black tank drama. So head on over to Thetford.com to see a complete range of their products that can keep your tanks in tip-top condition. All right, Johan, you ready to talk about towing?
Let's do it.
All right. What can we tow with this baby?
Okay. So this one falls squarely into the 5,000 pound capacity of the three-row SUVs. That's probably the highest towing capacity you're going to get with what we call in the industry unibody type of vehicles. And so kind of referencing back a little bit to our SUV episode, there are SUVs out there that are on a truck frame that are on an actual chassis, and then there's going to be SUVs that are more car-based, which the frame and the body are all one. And so this Subaru is definitely in the latter, and 5,000 pounds seems to be where most of the higher end of the capacity of most of these type of unibody SUVs. Very capable, 5,000 pounds for something that fits this many people, that rides this comfortable, that is this efficient. That's a very good feat.
So if you want more tow capacity out of an SUV, you're going to a 4Runner, a Durango, a Tahoe. I mean, you're moving to a very different type of vehicle. It's going to cost more probably. It's going to have less MPG, less miles per gallon, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not going to have the same smooth ride necessarily. Talk to us about payload.
The payload of the there's a slight range depending on the trim levels, because the trim level will have a slightly different weight to it. But 1200 seems to be about the average payload, a little bit under, a little bit over. 1200 seems to be the average payload of the Subaru Ascent, which is very, very good. That's comparable to some mid-sized trucks to minivans. So from a payload perspective, the Subaru Ascent is right where it needs to be.
And again, I just always like to point out to our listeners, if they don't go back and listen to the whole SUV episode, which I really want them to, please, 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 when you're searching for a tow vehicle, note that the payload number is as important as the towing number. That is where a lot of people get stuck.
In some ways, it's more important.
Right. And
ironically, people look more at the tow capacity, yes. But I think it's often like we max out on our payload before we max out on the tow capacity. So you're saying that 1,200 is a good number. And I agree with you, but I think that you might, you know, you could easily use up that 1,200 pounds if there's, you know, five people in the car
and a dog
and you've got an RV back there with, you know, 500 pounds at the tongue. So you really want to pay attention to the tongue weight of the RV that you would be matching to this Subaru, and you need to do that math and everything.
The Blackstone would probably have to go in the camper.
Yes, exactly. Things like that add up. Now, when we had our Highlander, which was the last SUV that we towed with, when we bought it, we had to install the electric brakes and everything to be able to tow. What's the situation with that? With, like, if I get a tow package on the Ascent, how much am I going to have to do myself in order to get it ready to tow a travel trailer?
That's what's cool about the Ascent, because one of the big selling features of the Ascent is that it was designed to tow up to 5,000 pounds. And so when you get the trailer package, you're going to get the hitch, you're going to get the harnesses that are for the trailer in the back already. It does not come with a brake controller, but from reviewing the Subaru user groups, it has the wiring back there. So it's just a matter of ordering a brake controller from somewhere online and then getting the harness that's meant for the Subaru to wire it up. So no different. For example, when I had our Escalade a few years ago, my Escalade had the wiring back there, but I had to buy the harness and I had to buy my brake controller and then install it.
And the wiring is the expensive part, right? I mean, if you don't have the wiring and you have to have that put in, I think that's really going to cost you a lot more money than just getting the brake controller and the harness.
Exactly. And you're talking about four wires too. So it's pretty do it yourself. And for those that are not in any sort of way do it yourselfers, if you had to pay labor for a shop to do that for you, it wouldn't be very expensive in labor because you're talking under a half hour.
All right. Now, Johan, you've been stalking the Subaru groups to see what people's real world towing experience is on this. And I'll be honest, when we were standing there looking at the Ascent, we were like, it's so small.
Well, I kind of looked at that and I was like, man, I would not really get close to the max 5,000 pounds for me personally.
Like you're picturing this really big.
Look that big.
Yeah. So what are people saying about how this actually tows in the real world?
Yeah. So I have to give a shout out because one of my best friends is a Subaru ambassador and she's also an RV Atlas member. So when I was going to be preparing for this podcast, I asked her for her input as well. And so she went looking through the Subaru groups and reading what people have actually been doing for a year has been really good. It's been very positive as far as people's towing, real world towing experience with it. And so I came to gather that, there are a lot of people that have a single axle trailer and there's some people that also have a tandem axle trailers that are towing with it. And so I think the real world number, instead of 5,000 pounds, I think it really needs to be somewhere around 3,800 maybe at the most. And I'm talking about like for somebody that has a camper that can maybe be maxed out in the 4,000 or 4,500 range, but realistically with their gear and stuff in it, maybe around 3,800 seems to be where most of these Subaru owners that are having positive experiences to be that or under.
And, are you saying GVW are at about 3,800, Johan?
Right.
Okay.
So the max GVR 4,600, I think is too much. Okay. I really think under 4,000, we need to keep it under 4,000 too.
That's what I would do. Like
yeah.
I would tow a Hummingbird with this or an R-Pod or a Little Guy Max. Or
hey, I've got a tiny trailer roundup coming out in Trailer Life in October.
Yeah.
And there's like 15 tiny trailers that would probably be awesome to tow with the Ascent on
there. But here's a sticking point though, right? I mean, you're looking at a three-row SUV where you could have four kids. You know, this could be a mom and dad with four kids. Then you got to think about, like, well, what RV could you tow, you know, that's that weight? So you do get into a tricky area where you've got a vehicle that can pack in a lot of people, but it might not be able to tow an RV that's going to comfortably, you know, have all those people in it. So that's the tricky thing to think about.
My curveball to you on that is hybrid. A lot of times, hybrids kind of fulfill that need, and there's a lot of hybrid options under 3,800 pounds.
I completely agree. And again, just sometimes we have new listeners with us, new shoppers. So we want to say when Johan says hybrid, he's not talking about a car hybrid. He's talking about an RV hybrid, which are those tent ends that come out at the end. And that's a really great compromise for keeping your RV smaller, but sleeping more people. Well, I am really excited for tomorrow's episode where we're all going to chat about our test drive. The last time Jeremy and I did a test drive after we did the specs, we kind of had a wah-wah experience.
Well, I mean, let's just say it. Like, the Ranger kind of disappointed us a little bit.
But this time I'm really excited because we did – spoiler alert, we didn't
have that. Oh, we loved it. Yes. I mean, the Ranger, the specs were like, oh, my God, this thing's awesome. And then we drove it and we were kind of like Stephanie said, wah-wah-wah. Well, this one has these awesome specs and looks like such an appealing option, and we love driving it. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, and Stephanie and Johan and I are going to talk about driving the Subaru Ascent.
All right, and a big thank you to Johan for joining us once again with his expertise. We really appreciate him talking about SUVs with us. He's got such a wide range of experience with it. And also a big thanks to our sponsor, Go Power. Having solar power has just been such a wonderful experience for us RVing. Now, if you have an SUV and a smaller RV, you may not want all of the big panels installed with an inverter and all that stuff that we got on our huge toy hauler. You might instead want a portable solar power system.
Particularly if you're towing with the Subaru Ascent and
exactly.
You have a small rig.
Right. That's the perfect kind of setup for that. So you can go and you can listen to our recent podcast episode on portable power solar kits, which was really helpful and educational with the folks from Go Power. They're all about helping people find whatever it is that works best for them, which I love. And then before you listen to that, you want to download their free ebook, the RV Solar Reference Guide, over at gpelectric.com/ebook. They're going to give you all the information without making you feel stupid, right? That's my favorite kind of information. So go ahead and size a solar system for yourself over at gpelectric.com.
Now, what Johan didn't mention is that everyone in the coffee shop has now gathered around him and is sitting at his feet and listening to him talk about
it. It's like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, a romper room. Remember romper room? And Johan's seeing everybody in his magic mirror over there. All right, Johan, thank you so much. We're going to talk to you. Everybody's going to hear our conversation about driving it tomorrow. All right?
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.